Blog Talk Radio.
It's time now for the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hilder. It's time now for the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand. Explore new ways to activate your brilliance, that conscious, intelligent, creative energy within. Lynn and Vivian offer fail-proof answers that you've been looking for. And now, here's Lynn and Vivian.
Welcome. We're so glad that you are with us. This is the Back to Brilliance Hour. And of course, if you've been on before, you know we talk about brilliance. And tonight, our topic is make the switch from ego mind to heart mind. I know a lot of you have heard about ego and heart because they're part of our vocabulary. And tonight, we're speaking about the ego mind and heart mind and how it all relates to the topic of brilliance and who we are in the world today. So our aim for tonight, by the way, this is Vivian, I forgot to tell you, and my business partner Lynn is right here and she'll be coming on in a minute. Our aim for tonight is, number one, to assist all of you in understanding ego mind. And that's really what we call computer mind, programmed, pattern thinking, and recognizing how ego mind works in our lives. Our second aim, or part of our aim, is to learn about the heart mind, which is what we call brilliance, our inspired source and love connection, and its power to transform our lives. And last, in every moment, to allow and activate our heart mind to take the lead in co-creating a dynamic world of love. And Lynn's going to give you the objectives for tonight.
Hi there, this is Lynn, and we have three objectives for the class this evening. I think Vivian mentioned the title, but just in case, make the switch from ego mind to heart mind. This is probably one of the most relevant topics we've had that addresses specifically what we're going through as we are in the ascension process, as we are moving from third dimension to fifth dimensional beings. And our objectives for tonight, first, that you will know how to recognize the characteristics of ego mind and heart mind and how they work in our lives. And then our second objective, to be aware and confident in living predominantly from our heart, mind, making adjustments as you go. And I think Vivian already mentioned that what we mean by heart, mind is also what we call brilliance. And finally, our third objective is to choose to contribute your highest into your personal lives, communities, and world. And I can tell you, we've found that on this third objective, the sky's the limit as far as the choice of opportunities that you have are once you understand how this system works. So, I'll just as a brief announcement, we will go through our presentation like we usually do, and then we'll take a quick break, and after that, we will open the lines up for information, whether you want to contribute some input on something you heard on the show tonight, or you have a question, we'd be happy to, we'd love to talk to you. So we'll let you know when we're going to open those lines up. To start with, the first area we're going to talk about is understanding ego mind and how it works in our lives. This topic is one that I have only become familiar with in the last several months, maybe a year at the most. But I think it seems like you get on a roll with learning something. I've been on one of those with this topic, and it seems like almost every day I get a new tweak or a new insight as to how this works in my life and how it works in all of our lives. The ego mind can be described as the computer mind. It's our programmed and patterned and outside-in habits of thinking. Back in the 90s, what we referred to as our brilliance work was referenced in the media as psychology of mind, and it was also called health realization. And in that construct, we identified the ego mind as computer thinking. Well, there is certain amount of similarity, I guess, to that kind of a reference. The the computer part of that idea is that, you know, we as computer users, most of us, I know a few people who do programming, but I don't. And anyway, it's like the information only gets in there if you put it in. You know, it just doesn't magically generally draw its own information. Maybe some of the newer computers are doing more of that, but the one that I've been using doesn't. So it's dependent upon you putting the information in. And what we discovered as we were clarifying our understanding of brilliance and our understanding of computer mind is that computer mind that we talk about is that part of ourselves that collects all the information. So it's like it's the little program that collects everything our parents told us, everything our teachers told us, everything that we seem to think was important, and it stores all that information. It stores all the information you've learned about remembering your numbers and whatever you know that you've learned is stored in your computer mind. There are a couple of things that I've learned along the way that help me understand often patterns that went in when we were really young, whether, you know, they came from our parents or our aunt or a teacher. It was our three-year-old mind or our four-year-old mind often that put those thoughts into our computer, and when we pull them out, they sometimes have emotions attached to them that don't necessarily connect with what's going on for us today, and that can have something to do with the age that we were when we were building that computer or that body of information. Anyway, so the ego mind is our computer thinking. You know, we need a certain amount of computer thinking. There are a lot of things we don't want to forget that we do need to know and will need to know as we go forward in our lives. So it's not a totally invalid system. However, it can only give you back what you put in. And it can only be referenced in terms of what you put in. So it's very limited as to what it can do. And it's not the type of a computer system that can give you individualized information as it relates to the life that you're living in the moment. because it doesn't have that kind of information. It only has where you were, when the information went into your computer, and it can sort through everything. And it's also very willing to do that to try to help you find the answers and to do its job. Another piece that we have really gotten involved with in the last few months is this understanding of third dimensional thinking. It has that ego component to it. So many writers now are talking about ego mind, and ego works from our computer minds. Some people would call that it's left brain, driven by our left brain thoughts, and depends on our belief systems, our conditioning, and our programming. Actually, all of us have been intentionally trained through every aspect of our society, family, government, religion, education, all of those organizations are teaching us how to be here on this earth, and we're taught how to be a third dimensional being here on this earth. And the only drawback to that is that we are now moving along in our evolution and are moving towards a fifth dimensional beingness. And if you're paying attention like I do, you're probably noticing that there are times where you just get the whole picture all at once, and there it is, and it just looks pretty completed, and that can be a good example of a fifth dimensional reference. You see the whole thing. Everything's come in wholes. Ideas come in wholes. You don't have to use all those little habits of mind to track every little piece of information and check and see what comes first and what comes last and what comes in the middle. Those are very third dimensional reference, and they don't apply when you get with fifth dimension of thought. So it's like we are in a change point. And, of course, I'm sure we all have our meanings that we ascribe to being in the middle of a change point. It basically, to me, it's just know that everything is where it's supposed to be, that I have all the protection and love and care that I can ever need, and trust the process. It's like we came here to do this, and it's happening, and we can do it. And we can be as conscious of it as we choose to be. And sometimes we haven't been real conscious, and then you get a wake-up call, and then it's time to start paying more attention. So, couple more ideas here about the ego mind. How does the ego mind work in our lives? It serves two big purposes. It wants to protect our self-image. That is, who we think we are, who we think we should be. And all of this is greatly influenced by outside input. You know, I think if your life has been like mine, I think this is a common thing about living on planet Earth at this time, is that part of our training, whether it's specifically at our parents' knee, or whether it's over the TV, or whether it's on the job, there are certain patterns and habits and values that are continually entrained in us. And, you know, some of those may be very helpful. And some of them can really cramp your style. So you have to find a way to make your own truth connection within yourself. And that's not hard to do either. I just most often use my feelings. If I have a feeling that I need to make some changes, then I'll work with making changes. And otherwise, I'll just go along as it is, trusting the process. Okay, so anyway, that's the piece about being conditioned by our externals, all of that outside-in stuff in the world around us. This self-concept that we get from that experience is different from self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from the inside out. That's from what we really do know about ourselves, not the input of others that forms our self-concept in almost every society on the planet. Then the other thing that ego does to keep us in the box, first of all, it has these expectations, and they come from everybody around us. You know, everybody, you're expected to be a certain way and be a mother. You're expected to be a certain way and be a wife. You're expecting to have a certain kind of job if you're going to be the guy and the dad. And the, I mean, on and on and on. All these rules. I don't think anybody could possibly live up to all those rules, but we've all been so trained, we give it our best shot, sometimes drive ourselves crazy trying. Then there are socially accepted behaviors, you know, the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. And finally, intellectual limitations. That has to do more with other people's thoughts and input. They believe that their ideas are the right ones, basically. And so unless your ideas coincide with theirs, there's probably going to be some rough spots in that relationship. Okay, one last section on this first part. What are the symptoms of ego in our lives? How do we recognize that it's in play? Well, one thing, when we're frustrated, angry, worried, or fearful, we know that we are attached to our beliefs and thoughts about how things should be rather than what is happening to us or showing up in our lives. We can see it in our habits, judging, comparing, and trying to justify our knowledge, awareness, and our status in life. One of the things that I do is I start trying to make really sure that I get it all right. You know, I have this bizarre expectation that I have to do it the right way. And whether there's a right way or not, it's just part of my patterning, and I'll beat myself up trying to do it the right way. And bottom line, you know, it's just put your heart into it and get it done. Don't make a big deal out of this. But that's all part of what the ego does. The ego serves to keep us in a very limited reality. And I would say that's probably not talked about a lot when we're talking about ego, but basically, it's one of those traps that is set for us. You know, like an animal going through the woods, you don't want to step in a trap. Well, as you're going through your life, watch out for those ego traps, because they can slow you down and they can be painful, and they really don't have to have that kind of a, you can let go of it, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, we also need to know that the ego mind keeps us from connecting with our brilliance, our true self. I think that's probably the most important thing I've said here. We have that, and you've heard us speak before, you know that we talk about making that brilliance connection within ourselves, and we're going to talk about more. Vivian has quite a bit to share with you on that idea here coming up. But please keep in mind that it's our ego mind that separates us from connecting with our brilliance. So if you can learn how to get through those ego traps, you will automatically create a more powerful experience for yourself.
Okay, is there something other than ego mind? Yes, indeed. And it is known, it can be known as heart mind. And so the next topic that we want to go to is the heart mind and its power to transform our lives through brilliance. Now, our heart mind is what we call brilliance. We use those terms interchangeably. It is our inspired source and love connection, which comes from the inside out, not as the ego does from the outside in. In our work, we define brilliance, and here's what we have said. It's on our website. It's the conscious, intelligent, creative energy that resides within us and within all life. And I don't think it just resides. It's really what we are made from. Once we become aware that this is who we are, our lives change. Now, if you're a sensory person, you could feel a warm glow in your chest, or you might just have a feelings of rightness or order or peace. We connect with our brilliance through the heart-mind. And from this place, everything opens up. We recognize possibilities in making decisions, and we start to live from our hearts or our love center, which, again, we know is brilliance. So when do we experience this energy? Only in the flow of the present moment. And that's really any moment that we aren't caught up in the past, the future, the good, the bad, or anywhere else our minds are trying to take us. If we go to the past or the future, our connection with our brilliance, with our heart-mind is hijacked. It's really only accessible in the present moment, which is good to know because we spend a lot of time in the past and the future. So, you know, we can kind of limit that by trying and being present to every moment that we live. How do we experience brilliance? Well, we can experience it as respect for another person, acceptance, love, reverence for all that is, or you might feel it as joy and happiness or excitement and enthusiasm. Maybe you just have a sense of peace, like peace of mind. Those are all evidence that you are experiencing your brilliance. Now, because our mind likes explanations and categories, we used to talk about the brilliance as coming from the transmitter mind. Sort of like Lynn said, the computer is like it has all these files and it's programming. Well, if you want this access to the heart mind, the brilliance of the universe, if you want that, it's like you do the Google search. And you go out there and you have choice after choice after choice. And believe me, when brilliance is working, it's going to give you the answers that you need for the next step. It doesn't give you answers for 50 years ahead of time. It gives you the next step. And we call that, you know, coming from the transmitter mind or the right brain. But it is so much bigger than that. The heart mind is much bigger. It's not just the pump or the organ. But it's a field of energy that receives and processes information. So from the research of the Heart Math Institute, they're saying this field of energy makes its own decisions independent of the brain. And we've all been taught that this frontal cortex is where it's all at. Well, not so. The heart mind is even more powerful. Give you an example from their research. The heart field is 60 times more powerful than the brain in the electrical part of its existence. And the magnetic component is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain. So what we have not known about is tremendously powerful. Here's an example. If we have negative emotions, let's say like anger, that can impair our immune system for over 6 hours. So 5 minutes of anger makes a difference to your immune system. It shuts it down for over 6 hours. So it's hard for us to really imagine just how powerful we are and how every part of us is interconnected. But it's wonderful because this heart-mind is one, it's in us, and also it's one with the world. So all that energy that we need, as I mentioned before, is available to us, and it gives us the ability to live in powerful and satisfying and meaningful ways. Now, this energy can transform us. We can turn anger to peace. We can turn distraction to focus, hatred to love, no matter what our circumstances are. And that is a really big deal because most people feel victimized when they're in certain circumstances, and they don't believe they can do anything. But we can, with this energy, transform to the energies that we feel better in, which are the love energies. It isn't magic fairy dust, you know, like you're not immediately going to get rid of depression or ADHD or grief, you know, if you're grieving for something. But what that energy does, the energy of brilliance and of heart-mind, it allows us to get through whatever we're going through so that once again we can move toward health, we can move toward happiness. And you know, as Lynn said before, it gives us the bigger picture. It always helps us see more than what we had before. Now, today, in today's language, hey, there's a shift going on. There's an expansion of consciousness. There's new chakras coming online in our bodies. And people are really distinguishing what is 5D thinking as compared to what we've been doing all this time. Well, if you look at the world and then what we've been doing, it's going to be real fun to change that, to shift our thinking into this higher level of thinking. And the heart-mind gives us access to that. So I think we're going to have an enrichment, shift beyond our wildest dreams. Now, the very last section of what we want to share tonight is called The Path of Love. And I'm just going to speak mostly about how to get into that brilliance, to get into that heart-mind as an individual. And I think the first thing is how do we find that? How do we find this real truth that is inside of us? First of all, we have to know it exists. You can call it anything. You can call it higher self or soul or wisdom or common sense or intuition. It doesn't matter. We call it brilliance, but you use the word you want. Know that it exists. And it's really longing to be our expression in the world because it is creative and it is powerful. And the second thing that I had to do was start to listen to it. I can't tell you how many experiences I had where what I knew as intuition at that time came through, and I really went the opposite way. So how do we do this? How do we get to listen? I had to clear my mind, get myself quiet a little bit, just breathe. Some people use meditation. I like to walk, or I have a walking meditation, you know. If my voice inside that time that I'm walking is whining or complaining, then my ego is going. It's certainly not my heart mind. And if it's dithering, like, well, maybe this or maybe that, or, you know, shall I do this or shall I do that? Again, it's ego. When I listen, I hear my brilliance as direct and clear. There are no questions, no doubts. It's just there. It comes through. So I recognize it in that way. You just might get a nudge, an intuition, or something you call knowing. Those are all part of the way brilliance and the heart-mind expresses itself to us. I also like to do a written exercise. Lynn and I have talked about this Dear One exercise where you just say, you know, to your higher self or whatever name, you write your situation down on some paper, and then you get quiet and you wait. And you start
writing when you start hearing Brilliant speak to you, and you just write, "Dear One," and then there's no thinking to it. It's just a writing exercise, and I am still amazed at what comes through. So for ourselves, we need to access this. Before we can change the world, we must change ourselves. So getting clear about this, that it's here and that we can listen to it, then follow it, you know, which was my problem. Follow your heart, your true self. The heart knows what's next. You know you aren't alone when you are in relationship with your brilliance and your heart mind. And you can ask for anything because it has access to it. Now, this is not a dependent, you know, like bad relationship. It is probably the healthiest relationship that we can have in our lives, this true friendship and connection and alignment with our true self. So when we listen to the highest, we get a picture of what is best. Now, this is for me. It's not what's best for others and what I think they should be doing. This is all about myself and how I can meet life in my highest way, which, of course, will affect my family and my community. But this is not about them. This is about me. When I follow this path of love, I am going to have the best outcome. And Lynn is going to share the last part of our presentation.
Thanks, Viv. I was reflecting on that last statement you made about how, you know, it always benefits us personally. And that's true. But we, and this is kind of the point that I'm going to lead into here with this last little conversation. We are not solitary beings. We are members of the human race. We are members of some of us probably galactic races at different times, at least at different lifetimes. Well, one of the things I think I mentioned when I was distinguishing ego mind and our brilliance mind is that the ego mind is all about me. It's like, I'm the one. This is all for me. Here it is. Bring it on. And our brilliance is actually, and I love the way Vivian described the power of that connection and in electromagnetic fields and in, you know, quantum physics and even way beyond that. We are all part of something much greater than our individual selves, and we are, it's like we all together make the whole. And so our presence in our lives, our presence as spiritual beings in our beingness or in our existence is continually interacting with every other being around us and working together. And that's the final idea that we want to bring home to you this evening. The first big piece is learning that you have brilliance and that you can make that brilliance connection most often just by stopping and, you know, getting quiet. And, you know, first of all, realizing that your mind doesn't have to do the job, that your ego doesn't have to tell you what's true, that you know, if you just get quiet, you'll know. And that I've got a word here I wrote down. but I can't read. I try to type these up, and then at the last minute, you get this brilliant idea that you could make a change. Okay. But we, as we tap our brilliance and as we learn more and more to live in and be the brilliance connection, to live out of that place of beingness, the more we have an impact on everyone and everything around us. We've moved beyond ego, and we've learned how to experience brilliance more and more in our lives. And when that happens, and we work together with our families, our friends, our neighbors, from our hearts, from our brilliance, that space of brilliance residing in us, then we become co-creators in bringing forth a dynamic world of love. So it's like there is a huge opportunity for learning to live from brilliance, and it continues to grow and expand. And it grows and expands as we learn to work with others. When we contribute, when we're working with our families or our neighbors and our communities, and we create our brilliance. Through our brilliance, we create a heart-mind connection. It's like there's a major transition at this level that joins our collective consciousness with the source of all and inspires unknown possibilities for growth, expansion, and expression. We see things we've never seen before. We know things we've never known before. And we can collaboratively work with our friends and our loved ones to grow this vision, to grow this opportunity. And together, because we've got a collective energy going by this point, we have this wonderfully huge vortex of energy that can have an amazing impact on all areas of our life, on all areas of the planet. It's our being able to do this together. This is like the next step. You know, this is the why brilliance. Well, if you learn how to live in your brilliance, sooner, probably, than later, you're going to learn how to live in brilliance with everyone else. And that's really when the fun just begins. That is the beginning. We see evidence of this greater service in all areas of life. It doesn't get a lot of press. You know, they aren't talking about this stuff on the nightly news very often, though once in a while I think more and more people are trying to put more positive news stories out there, and I believe this is going to continue to grow. It can't help but continue to grow the more brilliance we bring to the table. Anyway, as you look around you, keep track. We're now at the beginning of a whole new chapter of life. This is day one, folks. It's time to really understand that we are part of something so much greater than what we think we are, and even more greater than that. And all we need to do is get still, get quiet, listen to our heart song, listen to that voice, or however you hear your brilliance speaking to you, and it's going to be just amazing what's starts unfolding here any day now.
We're going to take a quick station break. And after that, if you have questions about ego or heart-mind, please feel free to let us know that you're interested in giving us a comment. We may just...
give them the phone number.
Oh, okay.
866-200-4449.
I believe that would be our number. Yeah, I'll tell you, if you want to call in, the number would be 347-237-5339, and feel free to do that, and then we'll open up some lines and get some things going.
Okay,
so quick station break.
You're listening to the Back to Brilliance Hour with Vivian Hildebrandt and Lynn Hoff on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Lynn and Vivian.
Welcome back. We are back with the Back to Brilliance Hour, and this is Vivian, and Lynn is right here with me. I know we spoke at length about ego mind and heart mind, and I think those distinctions are clear, but one of the questions that comes up at times is, okay, I get it. I know the difference. Now, what if I am stuck in ego mind? You know, what am I going to do? Okay, yes, you can breathe. You can quiet down. But sometimes ego just is like a pest. It's like a mosquito in the summer. And it's like you hear the buzz and you flail your arms around. And guess what? That silly mosquito comes right back. So Lynn and I have talked about earlier, too, if I am judging anything or anyone, I know my ego is there. Or if I'm worried about something and it comes back again and again and there's concern there, I just, you know, I'll probably do the blaze, blaze, blaze. And the blaze, 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 violet fire, transmuting all shadow into light, light, light. I'll say that 5 or 10 times in a row. And you know what? You get some peace after that. Because what has happened is that the energy of the violet fire, which is one of the waves and rays of light that make up this universe, that make us what we are, it's part of the building blocks, actually it dissolves some of that stuff that was going on in our heads. Now, does that mean it's permanently dissolved? No. But it gives you that wonderful break where your brilliance can kind of speak up, because the ego and all of the worry and all of the judgments are so loud that when we're involved with those and we're engaged in doing that, there's no way that brilliance can come through. That negative energy just spirals. And so the blaze, 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 violet fire, transmute all shadow into light, light, light is one way that you can really get some peace and allow that brilliance and that heart mind to give you some perspective, to give you some hope, to give you another picture, to give you a clue on, okay, how about I try it this way? So, again, we can recognize ego. Anytime there's frustration or anger or getting crazy about life where we think we can't do anything, all of those kinds of things are just telling us. They're not bad. They're simply little signposts that are saying, you need an infusion of brilliance, which is who you are. You're forgetting who you are. And I know we have been in lots of bad spots. You know, if you're like anyone else, we've all been through trials and tribulations, if we want to use the old word. But brilliance not only gets us through, but as Lynn said, it's the chance of a lifetime to create a world that comes from love instead of hate, that comes from peace instead of disruption and conflict. So getting rid of it, yeah, there's some ways we can do that. That ego.
Thanks, Viv. It occurred to me, I don't know if you all know this, those of you who are repeat listeners, but every month we put out a master list of our calls via email. Let's say a monthly schedule. And if you would like to receive that, all you need to do is go on to our website, which is Back to Brilliance, and that's T-O, Back to Brilliance.com. On the home page, there's a center right-hand column. Go down near the bottom. I think it's down near the bottom. There also might be a sign-up at the top for you to get on our list, our newsletter list. And we don't send out very many things, one or two probably messages a month. But that way you would have a list that you could post of what our programs were going to be playing, which ones were going to be replaying. Last month we decided we would send a Scrum program on every Tuesday night. So what we're doing is replaying some of our earlier programs, and we may go back into our files even and pull out some older programs that we've done to share with you. But twice a month on the second and the fourth Tuesday evenings, that's when we will do brand new programming. And tonight was one of our brand new pieces. The next new program that we'll be presenting will be in May on the 14th of May. And the topic is going to be being a peaceful life. The whole thing we know about brilliance together, and talk about how you can use all of those tools to create a peaceful life, one filled with joy and love. So, anything you want to add, Viv? Okay, I think we've certainly gotten close to the time limit this evening. You're welcome to contact us, Lynn at backtobrilliance.com. We'll get you so you might want to take a quiet moment and before we get signed off and think about what you want to do with what you've heard this evening. You might even want to make a note. One thing I can do this week that I've heard about regarding website again, www.backtobrilliance.com. Up at the top menu bar, there's the word blog. Click on there. You can go down and make a comment. And we do check those out periodically, and we'll respond to any comments that are on there.
And we have a few thoughts from tonight's discussion with you, and we'll just leave you with those. Here's the first one. Ego is limited, and the heart knows no bounds. So the ego mind is limited, and the heart mind knows no bounds. It's unlimited. Second, the path of love comes from within, from following your heart. And third, acknowledging and listening to our true selves gives us answers to questions and the wisdom to change ourselves and then the world.
Thank you all for coming to hear our call, and we look forward to speaking again soon.
Good night.
Have a blessed evening.